Good morning. You'll be turning in your Bibles to the book of Numbers. Chapter 26. The book of Numbers, chapter 26. And verse 33. And Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, had no sons, but daughters. And the names of the daughters of Zelophehad were Mahla and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. This morning we're going to be looking at five of my favorite Old Testament ladies, the daughters of Zelophehad. We don't hear much about them, and yet I would suggest to you that there's a lot we can learn from them. I've actually spoken on them before, but I think it's been a lot of years, and so I just wanted to revisit them. A lot that we can learn. Interestingly, as I was looking at this chapter, it's the same chapter where we read earlier in verse 10, a reference to Korah in his rebellion and the 250 that were devoured by fire by the Lord because of their rebellion. And I just noticed one little phrase at the end of verse 10. It says, in connection with Korah and those followers of his that perished under the judgment of God, it says at the end of verse 10, and they became a sign. That is to say, God used them as an object lesson to the people of Israel, and he uses them as an object lesson to us as well. Now that's another story. That's all about rebellion against God's established authority. But it's recorded for our learning. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 reminds us that these accounts are there for our instruction and our admonition and our learning. They're a sign to us. And I would suggest to you that the daughters of Zelophehad are there for a reason. Their story is recorded for a sign, if you will. And so let's see what we can learn about them. First of all, we find them mentioned five different places in Scripture. Four out of those five times, they're actually mentioned by name. That alone should say something as to their importance. So let's see what we can learn about these five sisters. Turn over a chapter to chapter 27 of Numbers. Verse 1. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of the daughters, of his daughters, Mahla, Noah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, our father died in the wilderness. And he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. Let's stop there for just a moment. And let's give some context to what we've just read. Geographically, the context is Israel on the plains of Moab. Historically, the context is this. They're at the end of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and they're on the verge of entering into the promised land. And as you will recall, because of Israel's unbelief, because of their sin, God determined that those above the age of 20 would die in the wilderness. But he made this promise to them back in chapter 14, after how he talks about the carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness, all of those over 20 years old, because they murmured and because they sinned and they had general disbelief. He says in verse 31, "But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised." So, after 40 years of wandering, they're about to enter the promised land. And God had told them, "Look, I want to be your God, and I want you to be my people. And I'm going to give you this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be yours for the taking. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to lead the way. I'm going to fight your battles. The houses will already be built. The crops will already be planted. The milk's in the refrigerator. All you need to do is take possession." And these five sisters, daughters of this man named Zelophehad, believed God. They took God at His word, and that pleases God. It's a good thing when we believe God, you know? But they recognized the fact that because they had no brothers, and because their father had died, and they pointed out when they went before Moses and Eleazar and the chief princes and all the congregation, when they went before these rulers, they pointed out that their father died of natural causes. He died like those that were above age 20 because of their unbelief. But he wasn't a part of this rebellion against God's authority. He wasn't a part of Korah and his followers. And so they present their predicament before Moses and Eleazar and the chief princes. They say in verse 4, "Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family, because he hath no son? Give unto us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father." You see, death had snapped the link between the daughters of Zelophehad and their inheritance in the land. They had no husband. They had no brother. They had no father. And thus, they were excluded. They weren't going to get an inheritance in the land. And they didn't want to miss out. They didn't come before Moses and say, "You know, just in case God's word comes true, you know, we'd like to get in on it." No, they knew that what God had said was going to come to pass. And they did not want to miss out on anything that God had for them. Now, that there's an important lesson for us right there, and that is that we ought to have the same attitude. We ought to have the attitude that, "Lord, I don't want to miss out on anything that's mine because of my union with Christ." We read in the New Testament that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 tells us that we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And we need to be concerned that we, like the daughters of Zelophehad, get in on all that God has for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every promise, the book is full of exceeding great and precious promises. Every provision that God has for us in Christ, all the resources of heaven, we need to be concerned that we enter into the good of it. I think so many times as Christians, we live like paupers. If you got a knock on your door and you opened the door and there was an attorney there and said, "I represent your rich uncle that died last week, and you're mentioned in his will, and I've got the will here in this envelope," I suppose you wouldn't waste a lot of time tearing into that envelope to find out what you got, right? We've got so much more than any physical earthly inheritance in the person of Christ. And so these daughters of Zelophehad wanted to make sure that they got in on the good of it. They were women of faith. They had two concerns. Their father's name, they wanted to honor their father, keeping the fifth commandment, honoring their parents. They wanted to honor their father's name, and they wanted an inheritance in the land. You see, one of the lessons that we can learn from these five sisters is simply this: that faith honors God, and that God honors faith. They wanted a name and a place in the land of promise. They've been likened to the five wise virgins in Matthew chapter 25. They were looking forward to what God had for them. And so they come before Moses and Eleazar and the princes, and they make their petition. They came with one heart and one voice. They were united in their request. "Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father." And so we see how Moses responds there in verse 5. And Moses said, "Go away, you're bothering me." Wait a minute. Let me read that again. Let me read it slower. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. Moses brought their cause before the Lord. Aren't you glad that we've got a greater than Moses that takes our cause before the Lord? Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 58. "O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul." Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. We've got a greater than Moses that takes our cause before the Lord. And so, we read there in verse 6, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a man die and have no son, then shall ye cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. If he have no brethren, ye shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren." And so, there's a sense in which it's true to say that the law was rewritten. And think about the impact of this for subsequent generations of Israelite women that may have found themselves in the same situation, cut off from the inheritance simply because they had no husband, no brother, and no father. I don't know how many, but I'm sure there must have been quite a few that, because of the precedent that was established, because of the faith of the daughters of Zelophehad, there were many that benefited down the road because of their action. And you know, God is pleased when we ask big things of Him. You see, we're just little people, but we have such a big God. And I'm confident that God was pleased as He looked down from heaven and saw these five sisters that came together with one heart and one voice and one desire to honor the name of their father and to have an inheritance in the land. They wanted to get in on everything that God had for them. They didn't want to miss a thing. That's how we should be as Christians. I consider that these five sisters were women of great faith. You know, we only read two times in the New Testament of great faith. Interestingly, both were Gentiles. One in Luke chapter 7, the centurion with a sick servant, and the Lord said of him that he had great faith. And the other is in Matthew chapter 15, the Syrophoenician woman who had a daughter that was demon-possessed, and she came to the Lord, and the Lord said of her that she had great faith. You know, that was the passage where he said, you know, it's not appropriate to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I'm a Gentile. I don't deserve anything, but I'd be so happy for a few crumbs. And he said of her that she had great faith. So those two Gentiles were spoken of as having great faith. Now, what is it about them that caused the Lord Jesus to make a statement like that, that they had great faith? What do they have in common? Well, I would suggest to you that it's simply this. In both cases, with the centurion, what did he say? He said, Lord, you know what? Just speak the word from a distance. I'm not even worthy that you should come under my roof. The Syrophoenician woman said, you know, you're right. I'm just a dog. I'm a nub. I'm a nothing. I don't deserve the least of your mercies. Both of these people gave themselves the low place and gave the Lord Jesus the highest place. And I would suggest to you that the daughters of Zelophehad were much like that. They recognized that, you know what, they were in a predicament. They were destitute. They had nothing. They had no father, no brother, no husband, no inheritance, no nothing. But they didn't want to miss out on what God had for them. They wanted to lay hold on everything God had for His people. And so with boldness and confidence, you know, they didn't want to be guilty of what we read in James chapter 4, where we read, you have not because you ask not. They didn't want to have it said of them that they didn't have because they didn't ask. So with great faith and great boldness, they approach Moses, and Moses takes their calls to the Lord, and the Lord says, you know, let's give them an inheritance. It had to please the heart of God. And it pleases the heart of God when we ask big things of Him. He's pleased when we ask big things of Him. Now, I want to I want to interrupt this sermon to bring you the following important message. This is the message within the message. Hang on for a minute, and you're going to see how it's going to relate to the sermon in just a second, maybe. But I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Look at a couple of passages and I'm going to relate it to what we're talking about. So hang on. Matthew chapter 28. I just enjoyed this recently and I thought I'd share it and tie it into what we're talking about. Okay. The scene is resurrection morn, and Mary of Magdala and the other Mary come to the tomb. And the angel met them there and says to them in verse 5, "Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified." Don't be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. God is pleased when we seek Jesus. You see the little bumper sticker, wise men still seek him. Wise women still seek him as well. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that God is a rewarder of those that what? What? Diligently seek him. It's a good thing to seek the Lord Jesus. And that's what these ladies did. I know that ye seek Jesus. They were in the right direction. They were doing what pleases God, to seek the Lord Jesus. But then he tells them, he says, look, he's not here, he's risen, just like he said. Tell his disciples to meet up with him in Galilee. And drop down to verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And here's what I want to focus on. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. They started out seeking Jesus, and then they held him by the feet. They laid hold of Christ. And I would suggest to you this morning that that's exactly what God wants of you and me as believers in the Lord Jesus. He wants us to seek him, and when we find him, to lay hold of him. They held him by the feet and they worshiped him. God is pleased when we lay hold of Christ. And God wants us to lay hold of Christ and everything that's ours because of our union with Christ. We are rich in Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. We're zillionaires in Christ. And God wants us to lay hold of him. But that's not all. I want you to go, this is the last reference in the message within the message. Genesis chapter 32. When I was meditating on that recently, my mind went to this verse. And I want to tie it together. This is Genesis chapter 32. We're reading about Jacob here. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, we know who that was. It was the angel of the Lord. That was a Christophanes, actually. It was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrestled with God. Okay, Scripture makes that clear. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, verse 25 is possibly one of the most confusing verses in Scripture as far as figuring out who the pronouns refer to. But it's really not that hard. if you read the rest of the passage and then go to Hosea chapter 12 where this is mentioned and it's made clear as a bell. I'm not going to take the time to do that. I'm just going to help you understand the verse, okay? So there wrestled a man with him, that was the Lord, until the breaking of the day. And when he, the Lord Jesus, the angel of the Lord, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, Jacob, he, the angel of the Lord, touched the hollow of his thigh, Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, he being the angel of the Lord, said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I would suggest to you that that's the kind of attitude that we need to have. We need to seek Jesus. We need to lay hold of him and not let go until we get a blessing from him. Now, that's not the point of the Christian life for God to bless us, although that's why he came. It says he came to bless us. But the kind of blessing we need to be looking for from God is the blessing of coming to a fuller understanding of the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ, a better appreciation of him, a better devotion to him. We need to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to lay hold on all that we have in him, and we need to approach the Word of God and the Lord Jesus with that attitude. I'm not letting go until you bless me. I want a blessing from you. You pick up your Bible in the morning, you need to say, Lord, I want to read your word until you bless my heart with something precious about your son. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have as believers. And the daughters of Zelophehad had that mindset. They didn't want to let go, as it were. They wanted to get in on everything that God had for them. And so, the law is rewritten, and they get an inheritance in the land. But it's not the end of the story. It's not quite that simple. Turn to the last book in Numbers, last chapter in the book of Numbers, chapter 36. We heard from the daughters of Zelophehad in chapter 28. Now we're going to hear from some of her relatives, probably her uncles, okay, in chapter 36. And the verse 1, Numbers 36, verse 1, and the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spake before Moses and before the princes and the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, verse 2, the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters, just like we read, right? And to see there's a problem here, okay? And they go on and say in verse 3, and if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they were received. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put into the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. So they point out that there's a potential problem here. And it's simply this. okay, the daughters of Zelophehad get an inheritance in the land. Now, you know, of course, that when they took the land was divided by lot to the 12 tribes. And one of the purposes of the year of Jubilee, where all the borders of the original division amongst the tribes, where the land was divided, every Jubilee year, the borders were reestablished and the land went back to the original tribes. And I think God in his wisdom ordained that to maintain sort of a balance of power, so one tribe couldn't like buy up another and gain control. It sort of maintained a balance of power. So the daughters of Zelophehad, their relative, probably their uncles, pointed out, look, we got a potential problem. If they marry outside the tribe, then what's going to happen is the tribe unto which they marry is going to end up with their land. And that's not right. That's not fair. That's not how it ought to be. So they point this out to Moses and Eleazar and the chief priests, same group that the daughters approached. So how do they handle it? Verse 5. And Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said well. In other words, they're making a good point. This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best. Only, mighty important word, only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. Marry whoever you want, as long as they're in your own tribe, as long as they're part of the tribe of your father. That's good advice for young people today. Marry whoever you want, but they better be a part of the right family. What family is that? The family of God. Not just Christians, but serious about their faith. You need to make sure you marry within the family. So shall not the inheritance, verse 7, of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter that possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. So, they raise a valid objection. And the Lord and Moses goes before the Lord once again, and he says, you know, you've made a really good point, and the Lord has directed me to instruct you that that's right, they've got to marry within their own tribe. That'll solve the problem. That way the land won't get outside the borders and end up in another tribe. Sometimes I think what the Bible doesn't say can almost be as important as what it does say. And what it doesn't say, after they get this instruction, how that now they're narrowed down to marry within their own tribe, what it doesn't say is, and the daughters of Zelophehad cried, wah, wah, that's not fair. You don't understand. It's hard enough to find a husband now, and you've just eliminated 11/12 of all the eligible bachelors out there. What's a woman to do? How am I ever going to get a wife? You just made it a tough situation even tougher. That's what you don't read. That's what you don't read. These were women that believed God. Little people with a big God. And Moses said, you know what? You need to just marry within your own family, within your own tribe. Verse 10. Even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. They obeyed God. They believed God. They trusted God. And you know what? As I said earlier, the big lesson is in all of this is simply this. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. God honors faith. Okay? Him who honors me, I will honor. And God honored these young ladies. As the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Mahlah, Tirzah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's sons. They married their cousins. And they were married into the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. What a story. It's not a story. I got to get away from using that word story. We use that word in young people, especially children. They think it's a fairy story. They think it's a make-believe. It's not make-believe. These are real people. These are real daughters. And these real daughters had real faith in a real God. And they trusted God. And they asked big things of God. And God proved himself faithful. God was delighted. And he is delighted when we ask big things of him. It pleases his heart when we ask big things of God. And I say that these five daughters were asking big things of God. And God was pleased and God honored their request. Faith honors God and God honors faith. There's a little verse in the book of Job in chapter 42. And this is what it says, speaking of Job's daughters. Job 42, verse 15. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. In all the land there were no women found so fair, that is, so beautiful, as the daughters of Job. Job had some beautiful daughters. In all the land, there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. Well, if you give me a choice between the daughters of Job and the daughters of Zelophehad, I'd take the daughters of Zelophehad any day. Why? Because you see, God doesn't reward fair. He rewards faithfulness. God doesn't reward beauty. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who trusts the Lord is to be praised, right? God doesn't reward beauty. He doesn't reward fair. He rewards faithfulness. And the daughters of Zelophehad were faithful. And they stand to teach us a lot of important lessons. We need to be like the daughters of Zelophehad, asking big things. Little people though we are, we've got such a big God, and we need to ask big things of God. We need to understand that he's pleased when we ask big things. We need to be like those women on that resurrection morn where they sought after the Lord Jesus and they laid hold of him. And then we need to be like Jacob and say, I'm not turning loose until you bless me. God wants us to be blessed. Listen, Psalm 84 verse 11 says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Romans 8, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give us all, freely give us all things? God, listen, we need to understand, God is not stingy. I might be, you might be. God isn't stingy. He already gave the greatest thing he could give, the thing that cost him the most. He's got an infinite amount of everything. Well, almost. There was something he only had one of, and that's what he gave us. He's not stingy. He spared not his own son. He wants to freely give us all, not that we can consume it on ourselves, but he wants us to get in on all the provision that he's made for us, every resource of heaven, every promise, every blessing that's ours because of our union with his son. He wants us to get in on it. So we need to ask big things of God. We need to seek the Lord Jesus. We need to lay hold of him and take the attitude, I am not letting go until I have a blessing from you. May the Lord help us to do so. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for this account that's been recorded in the Scriptures. We understand that it's there for our instruction, our learning. Father, we want it to be a sign to us. We want to remember the faith of these five sisters. And Father, we want to be like them in that we want to have the attitude that we don't want to miss out on what you have for us as believers. We don't want to live as spiritual paupers when we've been made rich in Christ. And so we pray that the Spirit of God would just take this account recorded for us in the Word of God and teach us, encourage us, admonish us, whatever it is that we need. Use the Word of God in our lives to give us a better appreciation for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to lay hold of him today, and we want to live lives that bring honor and glory to him. May that be so. We ask in his own worthy name. Amen.